It's a numbers game with your host, Gil Alexander.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
It is a numbers game. Hour number two right here at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM Channel 204. It's all brought to you by the BetMGM app. It's Gil Alexander. Vinny Magliulo still to come this hour. Did I not mention Vinny earlier? My goodness. Vinny, as always, to wrap up our week here on a numbers game. NASCAR pick still to come from Jeff Colleandro. Got to get into that. And Danny Burke and I will discuss the MLB's preposterous stance on blackout rules even during a pandemic. It is just ridiculous. We'll do all that. Can we update the golf first? I want to see what these live betting odds are showing right now. Colin Morikawa now, 4-stroke lead at the Workday Charity Open, the first of two consecutive golf tournaments on the course there in Dublin at Muirfield, Jack Nicklaus's course. But Morikawa, 4-under for the day through 13, 11-under for the tournament, 4-stroke lead over Ian Poulter, who is 3-under for the day through 12. But Colin Morikawa, 23-year-old Colin Morikawa, right now in a run out here, second round of the Workday Charity Open, but obviously more golf to be played today and, of course, through the weekend. So we shall see. Much can change very quickly, as we know. We'll effort the live betting odds because I'm curious what DraftKings has Morikawa at right now. We'll effort those and we'll get back to you here when we are able to put them up on the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app. Let us bring in the greatest radio host of all time, a man who has attended not 5, not 10, but 15 majors in his day, and of course is a former remote control champion, most notably on MTV. It's our buddy Todd Wright. Good morning, Todd.
Even without the video proof that nobody seems to be able to locate. How are you, Gil?
In a day and age, right? I'm very well, thank you. In a day and age where you can find anything that you cannot find. What's the deal?
I know.
We blame MTV?
I know. Just can't find it back when people watched MTV for game shows and videos.
For game shows and videos. That's right. Not necessarily in that order, but maybe in that order. All right. I listened to the Todd Wright Toddcast. Obviously, Todd Wright has Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. And of course, the Todd Wright Toddcast. First of all, let me just say, for people who are not down yet with the subscription to the Todd Wright Toddcast, one of the things that I love about your podcast is that they are very consumable. They are about 20 minutes, 25 minutes long, somewhere in that pocket. Was that a conscious decision on your part? I find that to be awesome in a otherwise busy day.
Thank you. I was told originally when I started doing this, because the Fantasy Football Podcast returns on July 24th, that's season 5. That was the first podcast that I did. I was told when I started doing them that they should be around 8 to 10 minutes. And I kind of reacted saying, sorry, I'm longer winded than that. Not going to work for me. So this is about as short as I can keep it. And the more people listen to, say, the Fantasy Football Podcast or the Todd Wright Toddcast, they'll often hear me say at the beginning, I'm going to try to be a little less verboten or brief. And then I finish, I hit stop, and I send the audio file, and it's still over 20 minutes. So that's about as short as I can make it, Gil.
No, it's great. I mean, your sponsors alone would take you through eight minutes, for goodness sake. You titled this last episode of the Todd Wright Toddcast, what has been a bigger boon? I'm not sure those are my words, but what has been more important to golf? Bryson DeChambeau's amazing play or the fact that there have been no crowds? What's your conclusion on that ultimately?
I think to the mainstream, Bryson has made more headlines, which as a golf fan, I'm happy about, and I'm happy when sports networks actually talk sports rather than talk news of a pandemic. So Bryson has given them something to talk about. You know, I remain convinced Berger remains the hotter golfer, but Bryson's story seems to be the bigger deal. Whether there's more appeal to him, he just won more recently. Berger won the first tournament since the restart. Some said he won at the expense of Schauffele, who lost with the missed putt on 17 as the front runner. With Bryson's body transformation, how he's a bit of a polarizing figure, how he finishes an entire swing of a golf club faster than a Matthew Wolf takes it back. which goes against the book of a slow backswing that we've been told our entire lifetimes for those of us that play golf. And you and I even talked last week, how much is Bryson DeChambeau? Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just interject. I'm sorry. It's Gil Alexander. It's Todd Wright on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. But you seized on that on your podcast, which I thought was a great point, that when they showed the side-by-side, just to clarify what you're talking, of DeChambeau and Matthew Wolff, literally DeChambeau's backswing is so fast, like you said, everything against what we've been told in golf, that he has hit the golf ball before Wolff even starts his swing from his backstroke. That's unbelievable.
It's unthinkable. It's why he got the attention as the mad scientist a year or two ago. He wasn't the inspiration for the USGA to say you can keep the flag stick in, but he had some sort of video where he proved, and he rolled balls out of, I think, a stimp meter, and how many actually would hit the stick and go in as opposed to lip out. In the exact same location at the exact same speed. So take the mix of this reputation was for always tinkering, always looking for something, even if it wasn't there. I think it multiplies by two or three with Bryson DeChambeau in trying to change the game and do things that just aren't done.
Talking to Todd Wright, host of the Todd Wright Toddcast and the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Okay. So by the way, Colin Morikawa with the 4-stroke lead, he also had as good a shot to win that Charles Schwab as both Schauffele and the eventual winner Berger, maybe the best shots of all of them. Morikawa may be on his way to the victory he didn't get at the Schwab, earlier here post pandemic. You have your buddy Whit Watson over there at the Golf Channel. You guys have you were sharing with me some talk that the two of you had about this rare occurrence at Dublin at Jack Nicklaus's course here at Muirfield, where they're playing a back to back, and how it's going to be set up differently from week to week in the opinion of both of you guys. Can you explain that to folks? Because as we handicap not only for the rest of this weekend but into next. Explain what you mean by the difference, or what you've sort of highlighted, the two of you, and then who that might favor.
Yeah, I knew they weren't going to prepare the golf course the same. This is not what you do. This is how you alter. It's called the setup of a golf course. So they wanted to let the Memorial be the Memorial. So how the week before on the same golf course can they make it feel and play different? And what Whit and I talked about, and Whit did some research through other golf writers and did some digging, was they were going to cut the rough down at the start of this week, and they're just going to let it grow. So they won't cut it next week. So guys who are offline, as long as they don't have tree trouble, will not be as penalized this week, and especially early in the week, as they will next week. The second thing that Whit and I talked about was, I mentioned the stimp meter. Okay, this is golf nerdiness, but normally the stimp meter is a number that is generated for the speed of the greens, the firmness of the greens. The Memorial will be a 13. The higher the number, the faster. For this event, they're roughly an 11. And the reason they did that was so they could use different hole locations on these smaller greens, smaller than average on the PGA Tour, where if the greens were stimping at 13 for the Memorial, the hole locations couldn't be put in certain spots. It would be unfair. But when you slow down the greens, you can put hole locations in spots that are more fair. So the greens are stimping at about 11 this week. And then they'll cut them and they'll roll them and they'll be 13 next week. And when greens are slower, as they are annually, say at an Open Championship, not this year because they had pandemic insurance, smart job by the RNA, Wimbledon, the same thing. We've discussed this. You can be more aggressive with your putting. It is why bad putters can win the Open Championship, because they can be more aggressive, more firm with putts, and don't have to worry about flying one by 5, 6, 7 feet. And bringing the dreaded three putt and a crooked number into a number of holes.
Okay. So then next week, based on that, and there's a lot of guys who skip this. We assume that the DeChambeaus and the Burgers of the world will be there next week. Eldrick Tiger Woods, Todd, I'm contractually obligated to ask you about this. He will play next week. No one likes to disappoint Jack, as you said on your show, on your podcast. Who are some of the guys next week that you may not have considered this week based on the different setup? Or is, you know, in the same way that I asked you last week, hey, who's course proof? Are there guys who are course proof on this course alone, regardless of how it's set up?
When you ask me about course proof, and it's based on how they're playing right now and what their games are right now, I told you last week it was Berger, Bryson, and Webb Simpson. And I still stand by that. I don't know if we get Berger next week. I haven't looked at the other names in the field or if Berger's just taking some time off. I would expect we see Berger next week since he's taken a couple weeks off. We know we're going to get Bryson next week. We know we're going to get Tiger next week. The best course history on this course, five guys really stood out that were playing this week in Rose, Kuchar, Cantlay, Hideki. And even though he missed the cut last year, he just wasn't playing well, Justin Thomas. So I assume all those guys are staying for the week unless they are injured or something happens and they withdraw or decide that they're not going to play. I think we know the full field. I think it's by 5 p.m. today. You make a call and basically reserve your tee time or you say you're out. So I think we'll know by 5 p.m. today. But yeah, you're adding names for next week. You're not subtracting a lot of the better names that play this golf course well that are playing right now.
All right. And as we move forward here then, and as you look to the major, you mentioned it, the Open Championship, that has been canceled because of, among other things, the main reason. Look, they've got pandemic insurance, as you said, with Wimbledon. That's why those two tournaments in tennis and golf were so easily scuttled, if you will. But as we look at Harding Park, let me just exit with that. And I know you haven't done a deep dive, but your knowledge of that course, because those people who love to bet futures are looking ahead to that, and that's up on boards in some cases. The Masters are everywhere. But the PGA Championship, when you see those out there, any thoughts there preliminarily? I'll put you on spot with that. I apologize.
Haven't played the course. I've been asking for months about the course history. You're more familiar with the area geographically than me. Yeah. But technically, you know, some people are saying, Gil, it's the first major of the year. Technically, it's the only major on this FedEx Cup calendar. So it's actually going to mean more to some players because it impacts you more to get to the playoff events and win that big purse. Technically, the United States Open of 2020 and the Masters of 2020 will count towards the FedEx Cup of 2021, even though the calendar says they were this year. So it's the only major in this FedEx Cup schedule. So it does have some meaning there. I would just say right now, I get that DeChambeau has become the lead guy on most of the futures boards for that, but you cannot ignore Tiger Woods. I know he hasn't hit a ball that we've seen since the match with Phil, Peyton, and Brady, but he was so locked in off the tee. I'm not writing him off next week. I think it'd be stupid to write him off next week just saying, well, he hasn't played. And then, you have to think about a Daniel Berger, who I know hasn't really flashed in major championships. And obviously, the big name in majors the last year plus has been Brooks Koepka. He didn't have a good first round here at the Workday Charity Open, but I wouldn't worry about that in a few weeks as it applies to Koepka in majors. He still is one of the three, four, or five you have to consider to win a PGA championship.
All right. Todd, exit here. I'll just we never really get to talk about it. But for those in the Central Florida area who want to play some golf, give us your elevator pitch on Todd Wright on the Todd Wright Tour, if you would. We never get to talk about that.
Well, this weekend is my largest event ever and first ever on a PGA Tour course. So the Valspar Championship, which Paul Casey has won the last 2 years, was the first event fully canceled due to the pandemic. They got in the first round of the Players and then they canceled it. So the Todd Wright Tour Championship replaces the Valspar Championship. I know it really doesn't, but I have 152 players playing this Sunday in my annual major championship. on the same Copperhead course they use for the PGA Tour's Valspar Championship in Palm Harbor, Florida. I'm very proud of it. I'm very excited. The Innisbrook staff is very enthusiastic to have me and all my players. And for what it's worth, and I know I told you this, the Workday Charity Open as of today has 157 players. I have 152. Pretty good comparison, considering the PGA Tour draws that many players, and I have nearly the same on a PGA Tour course this weekend. It's a lot of work, but it's a lot of fun for me. And my greens will be stimping at a 10, just one stimp less than what the pros are playing this week.
The Todd Wright Tour, for those of you in Florida. And as we speak, Colin Morikawa birdies another. Todd, appreciate it as always. We look forward to talking to you very soon, hopefully about more than just golf, hopefully about football as well.
Hopefully. Thank you, Gil.
Todd Wright. You're welcome, Todd Wright. Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, the Todd Wright Toddcast. That is where you can find his work. Let's get back into some more picks. We've given you horse racing today. Can we, Danny, let's review. First, let's review Lou's. Well, let's get to Lou's momentarily. Let's do Jeff Colleandro's NASCAR picks. They're in Kentucky this weekend. Kevin Harvick coming off a win this past week. Jeff Colleandro couldn't be with us today, but he did pass along some NASCAR picks for this weekend at Kentucky. So for those who want some NASCAR action, by all means, let's get into it with Jeff Colleandro. Here they are. If we can flash them up the screen at VSiN.com and the VSiN app, or I'll just roll through them. We don't have to flash them up. People can listen here. It's at the Kentucky Speedway. These are all odds via the Westgate. These will vary. As Jeff and I always talk about, always shop around for NASCAR. We say that about every sport and about every market, but NASCAR particularly, the difference from market to market is stark. So Kentucky Speedway this weekend, here are his head-to-heads. He's got two head-to-heads. He's got Eric Almirola at -110 over William Byron, and he's got Denny Hamlin at -110 over Chase Elliott. So Almirola over Byron at -110, Hamlin over Chase Elliott at -110. Denny Hamlin, just spectacular these days. And again, Jeff reiterates, in these pandemic times, he's only willing to bet about 30% of what his normal stake would be. He wants to note that. And then an additional note, in addition to those two head-to-heads right there, he said he also expects Eric Jones to run well at 25-1. Also betting Eric Jones top three, top five, very possible as well. So in addition to those two head-to-heads, keep Eric Jones in mind in some of those derivative markets, NASCAR, the Kentucky Speedway this weekend. Let us review Lou Finocchiaro's UFC picks from yesterday on the show, if we could, as we just continue picks after picks at every sport. But we had Lou on yesterday. These were Lou's best bets. Now, the top one is a parlay that he actually had one leg hit earlier, but for those just landing on it now, he's closing out his previous parlay with Peter Yan. He is going to do the Alexander Volkanovski-Peter Yan parlay. That was Lou's first one. He's going to do a couple dogs as well, he's betting. He's betting Zhumagulov at +160 against Raulian Paiva. And then Davy Grant +155 versus Martin Day. So a Volkanovski Yan parlay, Zhumagulov +160 versus Paiva, and then Grant +155 versus Martin Day. But his best bet of all of them, if I'm not mistaken, Danny, and you'll back me up on this here in my ear. But if I do recall, his best bet was the over in the Yan fight, over 2.5 in the Yan fight. That is his best bet of all of them. I am going with a four-leg parlay, which I don't normally do it this way, but for this week's bouts, I'm going four favorites, four parlay favorite at the top. Everyone I've spoken to have who know the sport better than I, listen to them all. I'm going Volkanovski versus Max Holloway. These are a parlay now, so I'm not laying the juice on all these. But Volkanovski, who's around -245 singularly versus Max Holloway, I'm going Volkanovski. I am taking Peter Yan -230 versus Jose Aldo. But again, these are in a parlay. I'm not laying the juice. So it's Volkanovski, Yan, Namajunas against Andrade, and Usman in the main event against Masvidal. So for me, it's Volkanovski, Yan, Namajunas, and Usman. Four biggest fights of the night, taking the favorites, parlaying them together. That's about a 3-1 payoff. So again, not laying the numbers in those individuals, which would be -245, -230, -215, -260, that kind of thing. But parlaying Volkanovski, Yan, Namajunas, and Usman, that'll pay about 3-1. The rare night where I'm going all chalk at UFC 251 on Fight Island there in Abu Dhabi. Should be an amazing event. Strange times for the fighters. Got to deal with the heat. It's the only time of day you can have these fights. It's going to be about 96, 97 degrees in the dead of night there in Abu Dhabi. By the way, Usman and Masvidal, that's about -260. It's dropped as low as -210 at a certain shop for the main event. Wait, if you like Usman, wait as long as possible if you want to bet him individually. That will probably only go down as the public backs Masvidal. But four-leg parlay for me, that pays 3-1, all four favorites in the top four fights. We'll come back. Danny Burke will join me. We'll talk about the MLB's ridiculous blackout rules, even more ridiculous now during a pandemic. Coming back. Any as well. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
Back on A Numbers Game, where sports betting analytics live actionable sports betting information. It's Gil Alexander, live in San Francisco. Danny Burke, back in the studio in Las Vegas. How you doing, Danny? What's going on, man?
Doing good, Gil. Excited for the weekend. Excited for UFC 251. I like your parlay, my man. I'm following Lou on a couple picks, too, so I'm excited for Fight Island.
What are you betting, ultimately? All lose? Is that what you're doing?
So what I did a parlay with Volkanovski in the over 2.5 in the Aldo fight. And then, I did a parlay with that. And then I'm going to lay the chalk a little bit on that over 2.5 for Aldo as well. Here at South Point, they got -185. I think that's one of the better numbers around here in town. So I'll lay the chalk there and just kind of be more selective with UFC 251 and just play those two. But, you know, I wanted to take the little flyer on Masvidal, but realistically, I know at the end it'd probably just be a foolish play because it just seems like the fun way to go and just kind of the more hype side about it. But realistically, I just want to sit back, kind of relax, and watch that one without stressing too much.
Yeah, it's usually a dog sport. You know, plenty of dog bets to be made. I just don't see it that way this weekend. It should be fun though. Let's just talk about this real briefly, Danny, because Brad Porter was tweeting this yesterday per Buster Olney, obviously at ESPN, but he was mentioning that Buster Olney was on radio and he was talking about how even with no fans at games for Major League Baseball starting in less than 2 weeks, it's streaming services, you know, it's even with no fans at games, MLB and its streaming services will still black out games for your local teams. And Brad Porter adds, this sport just finds ways to alienate fans. I mean, this is unbelievable because we've talked about this, right? We live in Las Vegas. I typically do, non-pandemic. And we're blacked out on the A's, the Giants, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, the Angels, and the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Six teams in Las Vegas. By the way, our friends, our listeners in Iowa right now are raising their hands. They're blacked out from the Royals and the Cardinals, along with the Brewers, Twins, Cubs, and White Sox. I know folks in Northwest Arkansas, just kind of going around the country, they can't see the Royals, Cardinals, Rangers, or Astros. So not only are these blackout rules in effect, Danny, they're egregious blackout rules in any given season. We complain about them in any normal season. But now with a pandemic where fans aren't even in the stadiums, you can't go to the games if you want to. They're still having these blackout rules. How dumb is this sport?
It's the most asinine thing of all time, Gil. And I didn't even realize how bad it was until I came out here. I bet on probably the Dodgers one time, and I'm sitting here in the sports book and going, why isn't the Dodgers game on? It started already. And then I realized what the blackout restrictions really were and how terrible they were here in Vegas. And it just makes no sense, Gil. You're right. I mean, about alienating fans. Look, baseball, as we know, is already a struggling sport, and you're making it harder to access some of these premier teams in big locations. It just makes no sense to me, especially now.
And for those who would say, well, these are the contracts with television, and they get no. You can change anything in this kind of just unforeseen time. Like, you can't go to the games. There's no reason for a blackout. Like, if you were to write a playbook as to how can we just get rid of all of our fans in a sport that desperately needs young people, and so you have the stage, right? I mean, I get it. The NBA is playing the next week, and who knows when hockey will come up. But you have the stage all to yourself at this time of year in a pandemic where people are literally captive, right? Oh, baseball, I just want to watch sports. And the blackout rules are still in effect. It's mind-boggling, dude. It is mind-boggling. I can't imagine how they can't change this rule. And yet that's the case. By the way, I just mentioned Las Vegas, Northwest Arkansas, and Iowa. If there's another part of the country I missed on egregious blackout rules who miss a whole bunch of teams, forgive me. But that's just a short list of how ridiculous blackout regions set are to begin with.
But I mean, now, Gil, think about this too. We're able to watch KBO games here, but we can't even watch a Dodgers game in Las Vegas. How ridiculous is that?
Right. And you know, we've missed like big events. Like, remember that game where Rich Hill was like pitching, I don't know if it was a no hitter or a perfect game into the ninth or something like that. We didn't see any of that here in Las Vegas. Nope. Sorry. Can't watch it. And then I think they like flashed in on MLB Network, and that was like our crumbs on that. But it's just terrible, man. It's awful. And by the way, you know, newsflash to MLB, for those of us who like to bet on your sport and who like your sport and want to continue liking your sport and betting on it, it kind of sucks when we can't watch and we're less likely to make a wager on the betting side of things. Anyway, it's just mind-boggling, needed to be said. Vinny Maliulo, Danny. We don't end a numbers game week without Vinny. Vinny standing by next. Oh, and a little game of radio telephone that went bad with you, Lombardi, and Vinny, and me coming back. It's a numbers game at Visa Esports Betting Network.
To A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander.
The debut of UFC's Fight Island is featured in the new issue of Point Spread Weekly, ready for download later today. Lou Finicaro, Sweet Lou, Gamblou, if you will. He offers his opinions on four of the matchups, including the Usman Masvidal main event. Plus, we cover NFL, NBA, MLB, horse racing, and much more. Sign up now. Get all of VSiN's content free until a major sport returns. Just go to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up. That is VSiN.com/subscribe. I don't know. Maybe you want to hear some Marvin Gaye this morning. Maybe you're more on the 90s tip. Want to hear some Mint Condition. I don't know. Vinny's got your slow jam request ready to go, though. Ladies and gentlemen, the dulcet tones of Vinny Maliulo. How you doing, Vinny?
I'm good, buddy. The Friday request lines are open. I think starting with a little Marvin Gaye is always a good thing, isn't it? Why not?
1-800-KML-JAMS. Hey, right. Vinny, let me ask you about it. So let me tell you a story. So Danny Burke, young, fresh-faced Danny Burke, he was telling me the other day, he was on with you. He's like, just casually we were texting about it. He was like, oh, Vinny gave you a shout. You may want to listen to it on the Lombardi line that I just did. And so I'm like, oh, okay. So, I got around to it, and I listened to it. And so you and I had this little running joke going on where headed into the 60-game pandemic, mm-hmm. I was like, oh, let me guess, Vinny, but you're aware that these are going to be random also. So your betting lines are going to reflect the fact that baseball is going to be more random. So there's not going to be these juicy futures. You said yes. And I said, you're a horrible human being.
That's right.
So that was kind of how the joke started. And then, so Danny points me to this episode and you send me a shout. You're like, oh, the batting average prop, you know, Gil was a little upset because I said there was a 186 batting, 186 AB at bat
right.
Minimum on this. So, you know, you're joking about that. And Lombardi, who's like not in on the joke, then immediately pounds me with, what the hell is Gil talking about? What a horrible game of radio telephone that was to witness.
Well, listen, you know, that's what makes it interesting, right? Gil, everybody's got an opinion. So step up to the counter, boys. Yeah, 186 at-bats, 3.1 ABs per game. Yeah, you got to stipulate something, right? You can't have 60-man rosters. I might get up there and get a little dying quail, and, you know, I'm batting 1,000. Pay Vinny. Pay on Vinny, right?
Clearly.
Come on.
But Lombardi thought you were being serious, and then, like, you and Danny let it hang. I was like, oh, great. Now I look like the Jag.
No, never, Gil. You're always.
Anyway.
You're always analytical, buddy. Hence a numbers
radio
game.
Telephone. Hence a numbers game. Ergo a numbers game.
Yeah, buddy.
All right, Vinny. So here's the question.
All right.
College football. Big Ten. Yeah, only playing conference games. And we don't know where this is going to go. We don't know if other conferences are going to follow suit. We don't know, as the Big Ten announced in that same press release, we don't know if this is just, you know, the first step in this. Maybe we don't play at all. How in the heck are you dealing with this? Or are you just like, you know what, we're not dealing with it at all?
Well, I think you have to deal with it, right? You have to be aware of it. So it's interesting. You know, I was talking to Chris Andrews yesterday, because normally by now we would have a couple of weeks, right? The end of August and beginning of September games up. And the fact that it's kind of been lingering and talked about that there may be conference games. Now we know that, right? The Big Ten. And if you look at the Big Ten, they were involved in that first week. Some games are conference games and some were not. Ohio State had a non-conference game. You've got a couple of other teams. I think you had, if I'm not mistaken, I think Michigan State and Northwestern were playing, right? So, you know, those are games you're going to put up. And then what do you have to do if they get rescheduled or canceled? You got to have to refund them. So we're taking a wait and see approach, because, you know, Gil, the last thing we want to do in our business is not have decisions, is to refund things. You take the time to put things up. People take the time to study and to put their money up and make wagers. We don't want to refund. That's not good for business. It doesn't help anybody, right? So we would prefer to have decisions. Now, with the announcement, we saw what the Ivies did a couple of days ago. We saw what the Big Ten did yesterday. You have to figure that, the other Power Five conferences and the Group of Six are probably going to follow suit, because there's a ripple effect to this, because there are interconference games. So I have to believe that there's going to be more to follow. I mean, look at some great games. There were some other games that are not going to take place that were pretty marquee, right? I think at Oregon and Ohio State was a game that obviously is now not going to take place, and everybody wanted to see that game. It's difficult. It's frustrating, but it's an unfortunate sign of the times right now.
Yeah, I threw this out yesterday with Chrissy about contests in the NFL this year.
Yeah,
and how we love Circa and we love Westgate, but
sure.
man, what a mess this could be. Could we? I mean, let's just take a given week. Let's say we're a week 7, God willing, and we find out, you know, Patrick Mahomes can't play for the Chiefs. Let's take an extreme. Are we going to have to, you know how we list pitchers in baseball? Are we going to have to do this in football?
Well, what do you how many players do you list? Right. I mean, is it just the quarterback? Because how effective is Patrick Mahomes if his offensive line isn't in the game? We've been able to chronicle how effective or less effective Dak Prescott is if, Ezekiel Elliott is not in the game. Remember, a couple of years ago, there was a significant difference in drop off there. So what if McCaffrey doesn't play for the Panthers? I mean, McCaffrey, who's probably one of the most impactful to the number players outside of a quarterback in the league. So you can't sit here and you know, post number and then say, well, I'm going to list some. What do? You have to list what? You're going to list 11 guys on offense and 11 guys on defense? That's a difficult task. In terms of the contest, those guys are friends. I mean, the guys at the Westgate have done a great job with that. And, of course, Derek Stevens, Matt Metcalf, and the guys down at Circa have done a terrific job. They added last year their contest, and they expanded it to have two separate contests this year. They're trying to think of all kinds of contingency plans in terms of how they're going to move forward and what it's going to take to make those official. Difficult. And I think, if somebody's thinking about, like, here at the South Point, thinking about putting up a contest, how do you put up a contest when there's so much uncertainty? I think the NFL probably has a bit more latitude in terms of the way the schedule could break out. They could push the schedule out further into September, to start, or they can have more bye weeks, and they can go into March if they so desire. But college is a different situation.
Vinny Maliulo. Let's do more with Vinny. He's not going anywhere. It's a numbers game right here at Beeson. Coming right back.
To a numbers game with Gil Alexander.
BetMGM giving new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on Kamaru Usman to beat Jorge Masvidal in the main event tomorrow on the UFC's Fight Island card. All you got to do is sign up, make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this offer. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Just download the BetMGM app today and use bonus code VSIN100 to win $100 in free bets when you bet $1 on Usman to beat Masvidal. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Got to be 21 or older and physically located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. If you have a gambling problem, here are the numbers to know. Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado and Nevada, 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia, or 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Gil Alexander in the Bay. Vinny Maliulo back there at the mothership at the South Point Hotel Casino in Nevada. Once again, if you're scoring at home, Vinny and I have an inside joke where I call him a horrible human being. He then jokingly says I have a problem with a batting average prop, and Michael Lombardi, not knowing either of those things, blasts me on the air. And Vinny and Danny sit there and say nothing. Okay.
Listen. All right. When we get off the air, Danny, we have to have a little Skype discussion here. Calm the backdrop.
Just fun to watch.
I have a question for you, Mr. Alexander.
Oh, please! I love
only because I'm sitting in this chair, your chair. You see, so we were talking before the break about the contests and the challenges and football contests. You as a bettor, you as a participant in the contest, I've participated in those contests myself. And again, I tip my cap to those guys because they do a good job with the contests. You know, Gil, the way I've often said, and if you've heard numerous people, Jimmy Vaccaro has talked about this, Chrissy Andrews as well. Like we appreciate respected opinions when you step up to the window and make a bet. So for you, and we're kidding around, but seriously, I want to know what Gil Alexander thinks about a baseball prop. Are one of these teams going to or not going to win more or less than 41 games this year? Okay, the prop at 41.5. so say 42 or more or less. Because to me, that's good information, and from a professional, I like to get your opinion. What's your opinion as someone who's participated in those contests? What's your approach this year to those contests, knowing that there's a bit of uncertainty?
Well, to answer the first one about the baseball prop, by the way, specifically, I'm going under on the most wins because I think that's way too high. Mm-hmm. Although the Dodgers worry me, but I'll go lower on that. Again, 47-13 is the greatest stretch to ever start a 60-game schedule. So 42 is high. I'll go low on that.
Okay.
And I'm betting baseball, I mean, just baseball in general, I'm betting a lot of season-long baseball here because if something does go down, it's not like they're going to have my money forever.
Sure.
It will be refunded, and so it's not a big deal. But as far as the contest, which is a great question, Vinny, because I do think people should really think about this. You know, yesterday I talked about an example. There's these rogue tennis matches that are happening right now. And I bet another one yesterday, also like the 500 and some ranked women tennis player in the world against the 400 and some ranked. That's what I'm betting, Vinny. But there's someone who was betting the total I mentioned yesterday on it. And, you know, the sports book graded it funky in the because it's not a third set. They just do a tiebreaker and they counted it as games. And anyway, what I'm saying is, you know, look, these are all strange things. If they're not stipulating the rules in advance, you shouldn't play them. As far as contests are concerned, obviously, you're going to have to get rules. And look, our guys will at the Westgate or Circo, they will stipulate in the event that this goes down, right? In the event a game gets canceled, we just saw with MLS, a couple games just got canceled.
Right.
Now, Roger Goodell's hell-bent on all these games being played, and God, I hope they all do get
sure. We all do.
But it is not an impossibility where a game gets canceled outright late or a team, as we just described in the last segment, gets decimated in a given week and you're just left to play them. And when will you find out that information?
Sure.
And I think, and you'll probably corroborate this, I think they're just going to have to go with, well, that's just the luck of the draw. If that happens, that happens.
Yeah.
So those are two different things, by the way. If a game gets canceled altogether or if a team is just decimated. But all of that under the general category, long way of saying, I don't know if it's worth playing. Obviously, like everybody, I'll have to monitor what goes on between now and then. There's still a long time. But it could get to the point for me that as badly as I want to play contests, and I play them every year in multiple locations, I don't know that I'm 100% playing this year because of that. Just because I don't want to get in a situation where I'm doing well and then I get destroyed by some random thing that I can't control.
Yeah. No, there's those are terrific points. I think, you know, and again, knowing the guys at both locations, they're trying to figure things out, right? And they're trying to address every possible contingency, right? And but there's just things we still don't know, right? So it's a challenge. I think to your point, you're probably going to wait a little bit longer, right, to register too.
Sure.
I mean, you want to kind of get a better feel for, you know, what's going to happen with the season and things like that. And of course, we've got week one posted now for the NFL. Our hope certainly is that it does move forward. And again, you know, you look at this leads into what, again, that if everything goes forward, and let's hope it does, and even if it's in college football like we started in the previous segment talking about, if it's just conference games, Gil, and we do get an NFL season and the NBA continues in their playoff run for a championship, the NHL the same way for a Stanley Cup champion, and of course baseball, we got a chance here, or the likelihood actually, of the biggest September for certain that we've ever seen in terms of handle. So it's and we're all rooting for that.
We are, you know, it's so. I'm just thinking, it's like if someone lands on this show, like during the pandemic, they have no idea how much more I bet than most, right?
Sure.
Or how often. This is a 365-day endeavor. Like it is, it is in my DNA. It's all I do. It's all we do all day after we leave here. But like you have to be smart about some of these things. And if you're going, if the exercise is, well, they'll just have my money tied up for, you know, and that might be the only outcome of this. That's probably not a bet you want to make, and it's nobody's fault.
Yeah, I think that's why we've seen a more of a pause, if you will, on futures, right? You know, we would be doing a lot more future action during the summer, right? Because folks who may not be here before the season starts, or before week one will be here betting those first weekend games. They would be betting futures, but kind of a wait and see. I think the other part is, and again, we touched on this in the previous segment, is, you know, overnights are going to be a challenge, right? When I say overnights, overnight lines for particularly in baseball, expanded rosters, certainly a different pitching rotation, which you should know about pitchers, right? But who's going to play? Who's going to play? And, you know, how, again, they've started to outline testing protocols and things like that, but exactly, you know, who's going to play and who's not, that as critical, is going to be important in making these numbers. And that's why you're going to see some quicker line movement, as I've indicated all along, and some lines that you're going to be real curious about. But we've all got to try to ascertain, and the leagues need to convey who is playing, who's not. And listen, I realize that, you know, we hear about, well, HIPAA, it's privacy and things like that. Well, we don't want to put, what do you do? We don't certainly don't want to put up numbers 5 minutes before tip off or puck drop or kickoff, right? So
no, I mean, these apply to basketball as well. It really, to me, again, it gets back to, this is the year of in-game. Mm-hmm. Like, if you haven't been in-game betting until now, if there was ever a time to in-game, it's this. Now, you may be up at all hours of the night being able to,
sure.
And it doesn't have to be all hours, but you can be on top of baseball and know what the team is, who the team is going to play the next day, how the pitching is going to be meted out. Those are a lot of factors to try to grasp. Maybe you just show up and see how it starts and make more prudent bets while the game is going on.
Yeah.
I mentioned Vinny in closing here. I got my 14 parlay in UFC. I got my golf picks. Golf picks not looking well right now. Morikawa, by the way, 3-stroke lead through 15 here in the second round at the Workday Charity Open over Ian Poulter. A lot of golf to be played this weekend, but Morikawa in the driver's seat right now. Real quick, what's ruling the day in a week now where the UFC is back, but golf still is in full swing? Soccer is a daily occurrence. What's the sport being bet on the most?
Daily soccer, for sure. EPL. MLS, obviously, it's on television. People are betting on that. UFC tomorrow will be, will rule the day. Golf. You've got these three sports that I just mentioned, Gil, anywhere from 3 to 5 times what they normally would be if things were, quote-unquote, normal.
3 to 5 times. Yep. All right, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. What do you fear the most, Vinny? What do you fear the most here?
Well, obviously that we don't have a fall that we hope for in terms of football. I mean, I think we can live with conference games in college football, but we certainly want to have college football. We definitely want to have NFL football.
All right, let's go baseball.
That's
let's
right,
go
buddy.
Basketball. Let's go hockey, and let's go football.
All the above.
We're all rooting for it all. All of the above. I'm going on vacation. We're going to run some best ofs betting series that we did. Betting profile series will be part of the best ofs. But Danny Burke, I believe, will be in studio as well to cover any late breaking stuff next week right here on A Numbers Game at VSiN. And Vinny, I'm sure you will be here next week to close out the weeks.
I'll be here, buddy. You have a good vacation.
You too, buddy. Vinny Malilo, thanks to everybody. Chris Valica, Paul Carr, Lou Finicaro yesterday. Ron Flatter, Todd Wright, everybody who was on, good luck with all your bets this weekend. Soccer, UFC, golf, and beyond. From VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.